This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan with T. Xiaoyik and Kelly Anisa in the studio. It's Friday and we have a couple of stories for you today that will hopefully help you breathe a little easier over the weekend.
Yes.
First up, today is the International Day of Yoga and this year's theme is Yoga for Climate Action. So we're looking at the origins of this day and its relevance to modern life.
And speaking of breathing easy or just, you know, breathing at all, we are living in the age of Keanu. That's Keanu Reeves, of course, if you didn't know. But what is it about him that's feeding the internet frenzy? We'll be looking at that.
Yes, and on that note, we're asking you on Twitter, which Keanu do you like best? Your options are Matrix Keanu, Speed Keanu, John Wick Keanu, or Bill and Ted Keanu.
And also because Twitter only allowed us four options. So.
Yes. Kelly's picking all four, so she's very upset.
Yes, I mean, there's no E for all of the above. So, yeah, I mean, you can keep the conversation going by tweeting us at BFM Radio, or you can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
So before we get to our first story, in keeping with the mood here in the studio, here is Elvis Presley with Love Me Tender.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was Elvis Presley with Love Me Tender. I hope that's gotten you in a mellow mood because our first story is about the International Day of Yoga, which is today. And this year, the theme for the day is actually Yoga for Climate Action. So the International Day of Yoga was officially designated by the United Nations General Assembly just in 2014.
Oh, not long ago.
Yeah, not long ago at all. And it was after a proposal by India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi. And it was adopted under the agenda of global health and foreign policy, so as to recognize yoga as providing a holistic approach to health and well-being, as well as to disseminate information about yoga's benefits to a global audience.
And so yoga, as most of us know, is an ancient practice originating in India. So that includes physical, mental and spiritual aspects. So there are a wide variety of yoga schools and practices, but the form that is the most recognizable around the world is a modern form of Hatha yoga, which consists of various postures, which are also called asanas. In 2016, yoga was first listed as an intangible cultural heritage by UNESCO.
And of course, yoga has become incredibly popular around the world as a form of exercise, as a method of mindfulness and de-stressing, and as a health practice. And this also means that it has evolved into many modern versions. So from things like hot yoga and kundalini yoga to some really bizarre variations. I'm just going to list out a few here and forgive me if I laugh when I'm reading them.
I think they're worthy of laughing.
There's beer yoga, goat yoga, doga.
So downward dog all the way.
Yes.
Yeah, so doga is a dog yoga.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Maybe Kelly, yes.
No, doga, if I'm not mistaken, is yoga with puppies. Just like goat yoga is yoga with baby goats. Yes, I'm
speechless.
I'm actually embarrassed that I know this because I read about it, but yes.
There's broga, which is bro yoga.
Because, you know, men can't do yoga with women.
Hey, it's a bro thing. And there's polga, pole dancing yoga.
Yeah, you know, a lot of this is, of course,
Are just squirming in their graves.
Yes, exactly. You know, I suppose you can argue that it's at least it's spreading the stories of why yoga is good for you. But to some extent, it's also this sort of commercializing of a practice that is very ancient, right? So in some ways, the idea of an International Day of Yoga does bring the attention back to those core principles and provides awareness and information on the practice, you know, how it should be practiced, what are the actual benefits and so on.
Yep.
And as part of the day's celebrations, there are events actually being held today in cities all around the world, including, you know, places as disparate as Vietnam, Qatar, Australia. The biggest event, of course, is happening in India, in the city of Ranchi, which is in the state of Jharkhand. About 30,000 people have gathered and are being led by Prime Minister Modi himself. And they earlier this morning performed yoga asanas in a huge group. There are also, I think, similar events happening in other cities around India, being participated together with various ministers and politicians. And right. I've also read that all the different Indian high commissions and embassies around the world have been told to celebrate the International Day of Yoga as a significant event.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is this connection between yoga and climate change.
Yep.
So as we said earlier, the theme for this year's Yoga Day is Yoga for Climate Action. And the idea is that the mindfulness and the reflection associated with the practice of yoga will encourage people to think more about their environment and their actions towards it.
Mm. So that seemed quite interesting to me when I found out that theme.
Never thought of that link.
Yeah, I suppose not, right? Mm-hmm. To me also, it sounded a little bit, maybe a little bit tenuous, that link, you know.
Yes.
But I did think that to get an idea of how yoga fits into our modern lives and how it could maybe fit into playing a part in getting us to think about things like climate change, mm-hmm. I spoke earlier today to Sandhya Manoj, who is the co-founder of the Manasa Yoga School. So here's our conversation. What is your opinion about having an International Yoga Day?
It has brought awareness on an international platform that we can bring our energies together on a single day with the same level of thoughts and same level of aptitude towards practicing yoga as a way of life. And I believe that by keeping one day that is dedicated to this purpose, it's a wonderful thing that our Prime Minister Narendra Modi has done, you know, bringing it to the UN table and bringing that as one day. Not that we don't practice it. Everybody has an awareness about yoga in a very international scale. But singularly bringing that awareness on a single day, like how we have a New Year, everybody has that resolution. Everybody has that awareness of, okay, this is something new. Similarly, having an International Yoga Day has brought about more energy towards the practice of yoga, the observation of different aspects of yoga. You know, there's more waking up to this new moment on a global platform.
However, with the increasing awareness and I suppose globalization of yoga as well, is mm-hmm. there also a danger of the practice becoming somewhat diluted or diverging from the original roots of it?
For any aspect of it, there is two ways of looking at it. There's always a plus side and a minus. And I think on a larger front, we are at the benefit of getting yoga because the availability of good positive sides, good knowledge, good information is more accessible these days. And anyone who wants to practice the right methodology of yoga have good teachers out there. So it is not too difficult. And, you know, these days with the accessibility, I keep telling every one of my friends of my generation that, you know, these days we don't undermine our kids. They have access to more information. They know more details of every subject, knowing more and more of a subject, not only about yoga, but of any subject for that matter. We can't do the research on our own. So I think in that perspective, we are at an advantage of getting a good, accessible information and practicing it in the right methodology.
And what are some of the things that people should keep in mind, when they want to incorporate yoga into their life?
We are again looking into the do's and don'ts, right? But what happens is when we go to a yoga class as a normal person who wants to do a yoga session, maybe it is a hearsay that everybody is doing yoga, so I want to try out yoga. So at that point or at that stage, we don't give advices like, you know, look out for this, because the particular student who is going for a class is already having a mindset, I want to lose weight or I want to de-stress or I want this. So you, as a person who wants the yoga session, has an intention. So at that point in time, the teachings from a class goes into your system in a very minimalistic way because your intention is stronger, you know. So the judgment of the teaching will also be like, is this session going to be useful for me? Is it going to be like, will I benefit from this style of yoga where I would be losing weight or de-stressing. These are the thoughts. So it's very loud with thoughts. But I think if you surpass that stage and then you start listening to what is coming your way, then you really need to see how much the teacher is able to pass on a lot of elements, which is not just instruction physically. There should be an anatomical knowledge. There should be philosophy embedded within the class. There should be a clear sense of understanding not everybody's body is the same, which means in a class we have different kinds and types of bodies, and the teacher should be able to guide in such a way so that everybody focus on their own practice. So even like we particularly say, demonstration should be only to the extent where the others see what should be done on a technical aspect and not on how much the demonstrating person can do. So when a teacher is demonstrating, the teacher should not be showing off the length at which she can do, but it should be the process in which a student can explore their own body to that line of energy. And that is very, very important, because what we want the students is not to mimic an asana or not to mimic a position, but it is for them to take their body as a journey of understanding themselves through the physical moments in the given moment. Not every day we have the same muscles tight and loose. Not every day our joints are the same. Not every day our moods are the same. Not every day our mindsets are the same. So everything matters. So when a person is on the yoga mat, to be able to shift your mind from all the moods and emotions and the concoction of the day to your body, understanding how each strand of muscle is in that given moment, I think that is what you should be looking out for. So all these elements are of utmost importance. And then when you leave the class, you're leaving with a lot of things, which sometimes we are not aware of consciously, but subconsciously it has already layered you with a lot of things, which will come and surface at a later part in life.
On that note, actually, what's interesting about this year's International Yoga Day is that the theme for it is actually climate action. Now, how would you connect the practice of yoga with increasing awareness and action of climate change?
Climate is not just what happens on a geographical essence. It is also, our nature, of our personal nature, getting into different things. Like, for example, as the traffic increases, you know, there is a restlessness overall that increases on the road, that increases throughout that time space, right? Like if it rains, you know, even before we are on the road, we are like, oh my God, we are going to be stuck for such a long time. So all these factors into a restlessness, to a nature of irritation, more expectation of people to be irritated, angry, stressed. The beauty of International Yoga Day, as we spoke earlier, on a global surfacing level, is the same thing. We are trying to be aware of everything. The way we live, whether we are using excessive paper, we are excessive usage of plastic, that complete awareness comes into every moment in life. It is like if we are doing something, each action is having its repercussions. Each action, whether we are doing it with awareness, whether we are doing it for a reaction. So all this adds on. So we can't say the nature has changed on a natural way. We have contributions to it. We've been uprooting so many trees for variant purposes. We always have justification, but again, if we look at it, it comes from the innate nature of ourselves, and we have what we call it as trigunas, which is rajasic, tamasic, and sattvic, which is a yogic terms again. But basically, our idea should be to balance out for all the three elements or all the three characteristics are important in every human being. The tamasic is that dormant energy that we need to stay grounded in everything. But we need for us to relax, for us to sleep, for us to have that calmness, for us to take it slow. we need the rajasic. We need that excessive energy for us to just throw ourselves in that hyper way where action is required. And we need the sattvic, which is the balancing out of both these elements and finding our awareness at the right time. And right now, with all these different platelets of things happening at different times, we have a sort of an unrest foundation. And that occurs to an overall change where we are facing a lot of tsunamis or fannies or floods in different parts of the world, and we are getting affected. But it also reflects that the unrest is not just geographically, but it is also in the geography of ourselves. So for me, I thought it was beautiful when the climatic change was brought into focus this year, because it's not just the climatic changes we are talking about on a general essence, but it is a climatic change that we all need to work with awareness from inside out. And that works for each individual to be aware of, like to know what is happening right now to ourselves. What is the breath pattern doing? Or when somebody is triggering an irritation in you, what is happening to you? That awareness, to be able to see it and to be able to sit with it sometimes. And taking those things into account, I believe that if each one of us are going to work in that manner, then we are looking at more peaceful days ahead. We will be more conscious of our own nature before we cut a tree or throw a plastic. We are. It doesn't have to be reminded. Each one of us would take it in our own responsibility to not contribute to the disaster, but to be part of creating something more beautiful for tomorrow.
That was Sandhya Manoj, who is the co-founder of the Manasa Yoga School. Some really interesting thoughts there, right? About not just yoga as physical fitness or even just for our own de-stressing, but this idea of mindfulness as extending to our actions and how we think of the environment, which isn't something I've made a direct connection with before. Mm.
But it makes sense because it goes back to the original roots of how yoga was practiced. And I think we've kind of lost touch of that.
Mm-hmm. If you practice yoga, if you intend to try, perhaps this is a more holistic way of thinking about taking it on. Mm-hmm. So speaking of things that give us joy, I suppose, we do have a poll going on Twitter.
Yes, so we're asking you, which Keanu do you like best? Your options are Matrix Keanu, Speed Keanu, John Wick Keanu, or Bill and Ted Keanu. You can share with us your thoughts at BFM Radio on Twitter, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
So we will be back after a short break to talk about Keanu Reeves. But first, here's Kula Shaker with Govinda on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.